Vinci's DARPA expert. Wendy, can I give it to you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everybody. So yeah, my name is Wendy Funk. I work at Kennel and Associates, and the team that I work on, we have a contract with the VA to work on the Da Vinci project. And so I'm here to talk to you about a program called VA-DoD Resource Sharing, how it impacts using data with DoD and the VA, and how to find some of this data in the Da Vinci system. So before I get started, I just want to give a shout out. I see I have at least one of my colleagues from the VA's VA-DoD resource sharing. So please feel free to put anything in the chat that you think is appropriate. I'm really pleased to have you here. Okay, so let me go ahead and get started then. So what would I like to talk about? First, I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about Da Vinci. I know a lot of people probably on this call are familiar with Da Vinci, but there may be some who aren't. So just a brief introduction. Then I'm going to talk about the concept of a DoD-VA resource sharing agreement. I'm going to talk about some of the terminology that DoD uses so that they can capture workload associated with these programs. And then talk about how this data looks in OMOP CDM. And we'll actually even show you a little bit of code that we use to pull some of this data elements. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. So what is Da Vinci? So Da Vinci is a data warehouse that combines DoD and military health system data into one setting. It's also a simplified governance structure. It's one of the best parts about Da Vinci is that we basically, each agency has given release authority to the other. So as long as the DoD researchers are following their own IRB and data sharing agreement processes, they're able to use the VA workload without coming, or the VA data without coming and asking permission, and vice versa. So you're able to use the VA data or the DoD data without asking for permission. So that's pretty exciting. That certainly wasn't the case early on. I've been in my career doing research for over 30 years, and it used to be really hard to get data from each of the organizations and put it together. So it's really nice that this exists. Da Vinci covers about 9.5 million eligible beneficiaries within DoD, and there are 9.1 million veteran enrollees. There's substantial overlap, of course, and we'll talk about that. So you can't just add the data together and say there's 18 million people, because there's not. So when you look at the age, what we put down here is we looked at the age comparing the VA and the MHS patients, and you can look at the age distribution, and what you can see is that there's lots and lots, and the blue is the DoD and the orange is the VA. You can see there's, you know, lots and lots of young people in the DoD that are largely excluded because they're family members, either family members of active duty or family members of retirees. And then you can also see that the VA population skews quite a lot older than the military health system population. So that's important and relevant to what I'm going to talk about. So there's two separate Da Vinci databases. One of them lives in the DoD analytic environment. It's on what's called the MHS information platform. And then the other is in your environment that you're used to working in, the Vinci environment. Both of these environments contain the same OMOP CDM tables, as well as what I think is really helpful too, is that they have the source tables. So OMOP, you know, we are big fans of OMOP here. It's great to have data that's modeled consistently and cleaned and standardized terminology and things like that. But there are some concepts that don't crosswalk well into OMOP. And so sometimes you have to go back into the source data to grab fields and link it into the OMOP data. And in fact, that's what you're going to have to do with some of the fields that I'm going to talk about today. So those source tables can be super helpful. So there's just a sort of a depiction of the data. So on the left-hand side, the MHS data repository, the MDR, is the primary source of data that is coming into Da Vinci. And then you see on the right-hand side, you see the CDW Vinci data being brought over to represent the kinds of data from the VA. So why do we have DaVinci? Well, we're going to talk about the DoD resource sharing programs in a minute and how people, you know, Congress and such have encouraged interoperability and sharing across the programs. And so integrating data is really important. If I want to study opportunities for sharing or something like that, being able to tap the data to figure out where the demand might be could be very helpful. Again, they wanted to implement and operate a collaborative governance process. So we just mentioned that earlier. And then they wanted to enable researchers to be able to access both the DoD and the VA data in the same platform. And we're proud to say that the DaVinci data contains legacy data from DHA's old data warehouse, but it also contains new data from the Cerner Oracle environment and VA as well. And then we just wanted to figure out what were the technical solutions so we could access each other's data well. So that was kind of the objectives of DaVinci, and it's worked out great. There have been, you know, hundreds and hundreds of researchers in there using this product for their work. So who's the DaVinci cohort? Well, I showed you that age group slide, right? And you saw the distributions of the ages across the departments. And so on the blue side on the left, you can see that there's some DHA data that doesn't flow into DaVinci. And those are going to be those family members or categories that have no relevance to the VA. There's also going to be categories on the VA side that don't have relevance to DHA, but where we have this overlap or where we are interested in seeing data for everybody in DaVinci is, you know, active duty, retirees, people who separate from service, you know, stuff like that. So right now, if I look at the status of the patients that are in DaVinci, the way I like to look at it, active duty, there's about 1.4 million active duty service members in there, 380,000 Guard and Reserve, 2.2 million retirees, 2 million separatees, 9.2 million veterans, and 8.4 million deceased people in the DaVinci data. So I mentioned that we have source data in DaVinci. So those are going to be raw files that are coming over from DoD, like an encounter file or a lab results file or a microbiology file, things like that. But then the DaVinci data has also been modeled into a common data model called OMOP. And this is just a visual depiction that the group that develops OMOP puts out to talk about the various tables that are there. So there's, you know, a person table and, you know, some of my favorite tables, there's visit detail, condition occurrence, talks about diagnosis codes, procedure occurrence, drug exposure, measurement is where you get all your labs. So it's nicely, easily modeled data. It's easy to use. There's a lot of advantages to using this data. For example, instead of using, if I wanted to look for people with diagnoses in the source data, like maybe I wanted to find all asthmatics or something, I'd have to go through every type of data that I had, whether it was fee data or, you know, whether it was provided at a military treatment facility or something like that. And that's a lot of work. And so this condition occurrence table is super easy because everything's all in one place. So there can be huge advantages to using this DaVinci OMOP model. Here's just a general scope. So 51 million VA records in the OMOP tables and 15 million DoD records. The exposure for VA patients is a lot longer than DoD patients because most of the DoD patients are only in for a short period of time. You know, they might do a 4, 5, 6 year stint. Not everybody stays in until retirement. Okay, so that's just a little bit of background to DaVinci. And now what I want to do is kind of get into this DoD VA resource sharing. What is it? So just some background first. So when you're an active duty service member, one of the best benefits of being an active duty service member, I'm an Army brat, so my dad was in for 32 years. is that the active duty service member can retire and they receive full DOD medical benefits after 20 years of service. So they can also be medically retired. That can happen before 20 years of service, but those are the primary ways that people maintain eligibility after they get out of the service. And so when the retirees want to go to a military treatment facility, they don't have to pay. Healthcare is free for them. Unless if the VA refers a patient over, the care is still free for the veteran, but the VA has to pay a bill. The VA then pays DOD for the care that they provided. It's kind of like purchase care for you guys. These retirees can enroll in the HMO. Typically, a retiree might not have as good of access to care as an active duty service member, but if they enroll in the HMO, they get priority access. They can also enroll in a fee-for-service program that'll cover private sector care if they need that. Now, so that's the retirement track. Those are the people that are going to get a lot of care in the DOD. They're not just going to get care in the VA, typically. And it's not always the case, but typically. So then we also have, there's active duty service members who separate without retirement benefits. So maybe they sign up out of high school, go to basic training, you know, serve however many years for their contract, and then they get out. If those people aren't medically retired, they just separate. And the only free care that they can get at an MTF MTF is a military treatment facility. Is for line of duty injuries. So if they got hurt during, you know, a war or something like that, that can be treated. The VA can also refer these separatees to MTFs, and these people would not typically have an entitlement for care, right? They would not be showing up in the DOD data unless they were referred or it was line of duty. And you can tell the difference. I'll show you how to do that in a minute. This group can't enroll in any of the TRICARE programs, so they're a little bit different than the group above. Okay, so when VA patients get seen at MTFs, really good things happen for both departments. It's in the best interest of the departments, the taxpayers, it's just in everybody's, the patients, for DOD and VA to share. And especially when VA patients go to the MTFs, here's where this really helps. You guys, since around the 2000s sometime, I don't remember the exact year, but you have access standards now that in order to, you know, patients have to be treated within a certain amount of time for certain things. And so if a VA medical center gets really busy and they don't have the staff or the capacity to care for those patients within those access standards, that's where private sector care occurs. And of course, that can be very expensive. Well, one thing that happens when the VA works with the military health system is that they are billed at a discounted rate. So it's cheaper for the VA to send somebody to a military treatment facility than it is to send them just to a civilian hospital. So they end up being able to meet access requirements by sending them to MTFs. And they end up doing it cheaper than they would have without an agreement. So that's very much in the best interest of the VA to try to use these types of arrangements. On the DOD side, the Defense Health Agency has medical, they have to, one of their primary missions is ensuring what they call medical readiness for providers. And what that means is that they want the providers to have the core skills and competencies that are required to care for people in an operational environment. Like if you're going to war, what kinds of things are common that happen in war? And then they need to make sure that the providers are, you know, ready and able to take care of those things. Well, one of the things that it's challenging for DOD is because the population that they serve is young and healthy, right? It's a bunch of active duty service members, their family members, you know, their children and things like that. So there's a lot of obstetrics care, a lot of pediatrics care, things like that really aren't going to help them in an operational environment. So And I'm not, that's not to say that every patient is like that, but you know, it's heavily oriented towards active duty and their families for care being provided at military treatment facilities. So when the VA patients get referred to the military treatment facilities, it's great news for them too. They get the reimbursement, they get to use their fixed space better. You know, they have fixed assets in terms of, you know, how big are their clinics and things like that. And so they can fill those up more. But really, most importantly, I think, is that they can have patients with higher complexity than the typical TRICARE patient. And with that, they can practice skills, providing services that they may not provide to the younger, healthier people. So it's really very much in both agencies' best interest to try to share. So that's kind of the background on this program. So DoD VA resource sharing, there's an official program. It's the VA DoD Healthcare Resources Sharing Program. It's a program where DoD and VA facilities enter into an agreement to share services. The agreements are supposed to provide benefit to both agencies. They're not intended to interfere with regular mission for either of the facilities that enter into an agreement. So, you know, no one's trying to steal primary care patients from anybody or anything like that. It's you know, what makes sense, you know, and they're really, really popular. We have several facilities that are co-located and others that are also very close to each other. So my favorite military facility, I've had the pleasure of going there many, many times, is the pink one on this slide. It's Tripler Army Medical Center, on the right-hand side of that building. On the left-hand side of that building, it's the VA. It's literally the same building. And so you can imagine that there might be a ward where maybe the VA alone didn't have enough patients to fill the ward, or the DoD alone might not have had enough patients to fill their ward. But what if they create a combined ward and maybe staff it with, you know, some people are VA and some people are DoD, and then patients from either DoD or VA can go into that ward and get care. So that's a classic example of a VA-DoD resource sharing agreement. So that's Tripler. And then right below that, that's a picture there of Keesler Air Force Base. So they have a medical center at Keesler, and the Gulf Coast Veterans Healthcare System is only 3 miles down the road. So maybe not as convenient as the same building, but, you know, you could refer somebody over for an ancillary service or something like that. So these kinds of facilities, it's just really very popular to have these kinds of agreements. And so what you have to remember is, you know, sometimes research is local. Sometimes you're using national data, and I'm going to be the first to tell you, if you're using national data, resource sharing isn't going to be a big wedge of the national data. But if you're studying some kind of a local area, maybe you want to study the island of Hawaii, or you're studying Las Vegas or El Paso, or some of the areas where there's Sacramento is another example, where there's lots of, you know, sharing, making sure that you have data from both departments is very critical. Okay, so how did this originate? Well, back in the 80s, there was a Healthcare Resource Sharing Act that authorized these partnerships between DoD and VA. So sharing facilities, personnel, and services. This grew quite a lot in the 90s. In the 90s, it became such that joint ventures were created. So people would, DoD and VA would go in jointly and do construction projects, for example. Let's build out this clinic. Let's build out this shared space for these agreements. And then in the 2000s, things started to really take off. There was a DoD-VA Joint Executive Committee created to help align strategic goals. You know, just like I was talking about with this is a perfect example, resource sharing, of aligning the goals, because it's win-win for both departments. The VA announced the access standards. The DHA started a program called Knowledge, Skills, and Ability, or KSA program, where they created standards for readiness credit. So they assigned points to procedures based on the readiness value, and then provider workload would be categorized by how is somebody doing in terms of those knowledge, skills, and abilities points. And so you can imagine if providers really are incentivized to do, you know, have more of those points, bringing those VA patients in helps that happen. We had a big joint facility called the Lovell Federal Healthcare Facility. It's in North Chicago in Illinois. And this is a fully joint facility where staffed completely by DOD and VA, and it's really a total sharing environment. And then there was also a how do you pay for care? That was getting clogged up a little bit. And so DOD and VA started a national advanced payment pilot project where VA would just send over money to DHA and say, this is going to fund healthcare for our people for X amount of time. And then that would get reconciled after the period of time was over, either it was paid too much or too little or whatever. And it just went on and on like that. And the idea there was to simplify and streamline billing so that we would, you know, to support these DOD VA resource sharing programs. By the way, I need to mention, money doesn't always exchange hands in these resource sharing agreements. Sometimes it's not about money. Sometimes it's about, you know, staffing. You cover this part, I'll cover that part kind of thing. So just keep that in mind as well. And then recently, we all know, you know, greater focus on sharing systems with the EHR Cerner Millennium. And so DOD has completely implemented Cerner Millennium at all of their fixed medical treatment facilities. They still have some implementation to do in theater areas, so combat support hospitals and such. But within the fixed facilities operated by DHA, they fully have what they call MHS Genesis, which is the Cerner Millennium implementation. And then the billing module from MHS Genesis actually replaced that advanced payment pilot. So, and then finally, there's a joint governance structure that got created to support interoperability. So within MHS Genesis, people on my team, for example, meet with people from your VA pretty regularly to talk about, you know, to build actually reports and data sets and things like that within MHS Genesis that both departments can use. So what that means is as the VA starts to roll out Cerner Millennium more, you're going to actually be looking at the same data that the DOD people, like the same data structures, the same data access and things like that as DOD has. So what kinds of resource sharing agreements are there? And so shout out, thank you so much to the VA for their assistance with this slide. So there's 188 active resource sharing agreements covering 3,100 services. So there's 77 VA facilities and 97 DOD facilities as of September. And then if you look at the services, you can see things like ambulatory care, you know, like emergency department, physical therapy, cardiology, that kind of thing. You can imagine that you see OBGYN there. You can imagine that DHA has a very robust OBGYN capability, probably much more robust than VA would have because they have so many babies. It's their the number one product line in inpatient care at DOD facilities is babies. So if you're studying obstetrics, for example, resource sharing, perhaps, I'd have to look into it, but it that is something that you might think, that could be ripe for resource sharing. May or may not, you'd have to look, and I'll show you, actually, there is a spreadsheet that tracks this in a minute. There's a lot of ancillary services agreements, so maybe you get your script filled at the pharmacy, you know, at the pharmacy at the VA side of the house, or your lab gets sent over to the DOD side of the house, or something like that. So those are just some examples of types of the VA DOD resource sharing agreements. So, let's see. So here's some examples of big programs. So Eglin Air Force Base is in the Fort Florida Panhandle area, and VA patients receive inpatient care at the Eglin Military Treatment Facility. There's a lot of talk about at DHA about hoping to expand that agreement, but yeah, there's a lot of veterans in the wards there at Eglin. Tripler, the pink facility, pink palace we call it, that I just showed you, is in Honolulu, Hawaii, and they share inpatient and outpatient services. There's a behavioral health ward on the Tripler side of the facility, and then a healthcare clinic staffed by the VA. Alaska, in Anchorage, Alaska, they jointly staff and share inpatient and outpatient care at Joint Base Elmendorf. And then there's also a VA staffed healthcare clinic adjacent to the MTF. It's right there. So that makes it super easy, right? If you have a VA clinic there, you can just refer somebody. They're right next to you. Travis, this is the largest resource sharing program. So this is in Sacramento, California, and there's an adjacent healthcare clinic there. And then VA and DOD jointly staff and share both inpatient and outpatient care. So, you know, one of the things I was looking at, one of the primary product lines provided at Travis is the dialysis. And if you think about the population in the DOD, dialysis is not something they tend to provide very often. It's a lot of the VA patients that are getting dialysis in there. Yeah, I see the mention of the joint facility, the Lovell facility. Yeah, absolutely. Lovell is the fully joint facility in the DOD and VA. I think I had that on a slide earlier, so it's probably why I didn't have it on this one. WOMAC in Fayetteville, North Carolina, they share inpatient and outpatient specialty care and surgical services. And then another really big one is in El Paso, William Beaumont Army Medical Center, inpatient and outpatient services and especially surgical services. So those are some really big programs. And, you know, if your research is local and you're looking at people, you know, around any of these facilities, for example, your VAs near these facilities, there's going to be a lot of data in DaVinci to support you. I do see one more question. It says for genetic research, it could be helpful to access veteran family member data. It sounds like that's not possible with DaVinci. That's correct. There is no family member data in DaVinci. If you needed family member data, you would need to reach out to the DOD to talk to them about getting that data for your studies. Okay, here's just an example. So this is VISN 10. And so supporting VISN 10 is Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. So Wright-Patterson Air Force Base has a medical center, and it is in the Dayton, Ohio area. And so from the spreadsheets that are maintained by the DOD VA program office, you can get a mapping which shows you these are the VA facilities that are supported and referring patients under resource sharing to the Wright-Patterson Military Treatment Facility. Okay, next slide. And so if I look at Wright-Patterson and I look in what kinds of services do they share, you can see there's a very broad selection of care that veterans can get if they're referred over to this department. So notice facility, notice OBGYN there, they can get radiology, you know, med surg, they can go to the emergency department, you know, all kinds of stuff that they can get at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base if they get a referral. And so there is a list of active DOD VA resource sharing programs. So you can see they've got start date, end date, they've got what VISN is facilitated, there's information about what the agreement looks like, and then what is the shared service between the facilities. So if I wanted to figure out who's doing resource sharing where, that's sort of a directory of that kind of information. Okay, so let's talk about DaVinci a little bit more, and let's talk about how these things are coded in the data. So I first want to reintroduce a data field I think I've taught before in this cyber seminar series, which is the beneficiary category. It's the most important variable in the Defense Health Agency data, in my view, because the benefits really matter. Not all patients are equal. Just like the VA has priorities for their patients, this beneficiary category variable is one that sort of prioritizes patients to where active duty service members are the highest priority, for example. So DHA calls this variable BenCat. So it's just the BenCat, it's easier to say. And so anywhere that you see DaVinci data, especially like if you look at the source data, the BenCat on each of those records describes their benefit at the time they got the care. It's going to show somebody's best benefit with DOD regardless of why someone shows up. Okay, so that's important to remember when I show you another data element in just a second. So like a retiree who is VA referred, this variable won't show that it's a retiree that's VA referred. This variable just say it's a retiree. This field is an attribute of a person. It's not an attribute of an encounter. So what is your status with the military? This field is available in the DOD source data. You can also link it into OMOP data for both direct or private sector care. So there's record ID fields, which I'll show you in just a minute. And you can basically take a record from the source data and link it into the OMOP data pretty easily. Okay. But there's another set of variables that DHA collects, and one of them is called the patient category code. And the purpose of the patient category code is to tell you how care can be billed. That's not all care can be billed, but if DHA can bill somebody for the care, it's the patient category code that represents that. Again, like beneficiary category in BenCat, patient category is called PatCat. It's collected by registration staff. It's only on the direct care data. It's not on private sector care data. It is in the process of being phased out. When a patient registers using a DOD benefit, this variable is usually just going to tell you their sponsor service and the relationship to the sponsor. So for example, Army active duty or Air Force spouse or something like that. But if the patient's not using the DOD benefit, then the code indicates information about who's going to be billed. So this is available in the source tables that represent MTF settings in DaVinci, but it's not in the OMOP, just like the BenCat variable. And I'm going to show you some code actually later to link it in. So here's just some selected patient category codes. So if I looked on the left, those are codes associated with people who have an entitlement for care, right? Army active duty, you know, active duty family, retired family, things like that. On the right, these are some billable categories. So if a Coast Guard patient receives care at a military treatment facility, DHA bills the Coast Guard for it. The one that's most important for us right here, though, is K61. The three-character code K61 says the VA is who's going to be billed for this care. The VA owns this care. There are also patient subcategories. So you might see like K611, K612, K613. So those subcategories can identify resource sharing, disability connection, things like that. The subcategories are not fully implemented in DaVinci. Some of the files only have the three characters and some of the files only have the four characters. But if you just have the three, you can always identify the VA. Now, DHA is replacing that, and I'm guessing that VA probably has this field as well, but I'm not sure, or this collection fields called the patient information process fields or the PIP fields. So this is being phased into DHA. Currently, the collection of both patient category and PIP is occurring, but eventually it will just be PIP. It contains the same similar content as the PatCat code, except the PIP is spread across 5 fields. Now there's 2 different PIP fields. There's the PIP about the patient, which is a lot like a beneficiary category. That's called PIP patient. And then there's PIP encounter, which is the encounter attribute, which is much like the patient category I was just talking about. Neither of these fields are yet available in DaVinci, but work is ongoing to make them available, and it's likely that the PIP encounter field will be available sooner than the PIP patient field. So what are these fields that represent PIP? So there's the plan name, and the plan name is really the important one for this lecture. So these are the four plan names for the VA. So we've got DoD VA Sharing Alaska. The JIF is a joint incentive fund. Then there's local agreements, and there's national agreements. So basically, those values will show up, and they will indicate that the VA is supposed to be billed for that care. The PIP also includes some other fields like branch of service, pay grade, and then sponsor status, like is somebody, you know, retired or active duty or something like that. So here's a data example. So here what we have on the top is we have a retiree that registers using a TRICARE Prime benefit. And so their beneficiary category is retired, but their patient category, that's also retired because they're using their benefit for the DoD to get their care. But let's say you have that exact same individual, maybe even on the same day, you know, or whenever, to go in and they register instead with a VA consult, the BenCat will still be retiree, but that patient category code will now be a K61, and the PIP plan name would be DoD VA Sharing. So that's the difference, and that's what I mean by PATCAT and PIP being attributes of an encounter, not of a patient. So BenCat doesn't change no matter what context the patient goes to get the care. Their BenCat is their BenCat. It's the PATCAT that changes depending on how they present for care. So then what I want to do is just talk about a couple of use cases. One of the use cases I thought that would really be helpful to talk to you about is this advanced payment pilot, because we got some, you know, a real eye-opening on the quality of some of these data fields when we had this demonstrate or this pilot project going on. So in fiscal year 2018, DHA and the Veterans Administration ran this pilot to streamline reimbursement for services provided in MTFs. So the VA would send over consult data to DHA. DHA would take that consult data into their MHS data repository, so their MDR environment. They would match it to DHA data, so they'd match it by person and date, and then they would retrieve the primary event. So the consult would have on it what the consult was for, start and stop dates, and who the patient was, right? And so in this matching process, they look a little bit beyond the start and stop dates because sometimes those dates don't corroborate well. And they do the match, but they grade whether what the care is, what if the care represents what was on the consult or not. Then the TRICARE pricing methodology is applied, and then a discount is applied so that the VA can save money. And then there's a detailed file that gets provided. And this detailed file is patient level. It basically says, here's all the things that we wish to exchange money for, but there's some sort of mismatch. Maybe the PATCAT says retiree when it's supposed to say K61, or maybe the type of care looks different. And so the VA and the local military treatment facility reconcile those exceptions. They summarize that output, feed it back to DHA, and then if something shouldn't be paid, it's taken off the list during that process. So that process is ongoing, and then what happens is after a period of time, claims get added up, they get compared with what those advanced payments are, and then reconciled. So that process went on for quite some time. Here's all the sites that participated in that process. So National Capital Area, we had Wright-Patterson in Dayton, we had Fayetteville, North Carolina, and then the Gulf Coast, Biloxi area. And then what happened is as MTS transitioned to MHS Genesis, they went off this pilot program and ended up into the regular MHS Genesis billing cycle. So top 10 shared services at VISN 10, I had some numbers on here, but if you look at this is the list of specialties, and those top three specialties, orthopedics, urology, and neurology, represented about 60% of the encounters that were shared in that VISN. And so again, they were identified by person identifiers and the consult information. Now, what we found is that the quality, and this finding that I have in the last bullet is not just for this VISN, it's an overall finding across the demonstrate or the pilot project, is that the PATCAT data didn't have the best quality always. One site, you know, on the low end, it was only right about 49% of the time. So what that site was doing was not changing the PATCAT to say K61. They were leaving the PATCAT to say retired when the care could have been and should have been identified as billable. But then we have other sites that had better than 90% quality. So the quality of that field was highly variable. So it's there, you'll see it in the dictionary. So some more things to talk about here. So thinking about Da Vinci, let's tie this back to Da Vinci, let's tie it back to OMOP. So while on active duty, most healthcare encounters are going to occur in the DOD visit table. However, because of DOD resource sharing, we don't think of active duty as being authorized to get care in the VA. They're really not, right? It's not until they get out that they're authorized to get care, but under a VA DOD resource sharing agreement, they can be referred over there and treated. After separation, if somebody's VA eligible, usually their healthcare is mostly going to occur in the VA OMOP tables. But some separatees, just like the active duty, can appear in the data because of resource sharing. And so they can appear in the DOD data because of resource sharing. And then, you know, the vast majority of retirees are going to be dual eligible, so their care can be split between both tables. You know, I've had so many people tell me over the years that, you know, a patient is going to self-declare and they're going to go to one or the other and that's it. But every time I go look at the data, it doesn't bear that out. I see lots and lots of overlap. I see people who have formally chosen to enroll in TRICARE Prime, for example, and yet they get a lot of their care at the VA. In fact, a great example, I don't have it on a slide, but my team does a lot of clinical performance measure work for the DOD. And one of the things that when we started doing that work, we said we really need to get the Da Vinci data in here because we think there's services that are being provided by the VA that we aren't catching. So we think people need mammograms, but they don't, right? And so my team worked really hard to get the Da Vinci data included in the HEDIS measures. We do those HEDIS clinical quality measures, and we had to go through an approval process to get the National Center for Quality Assurance to approve that, but they did approve it. And so now a lot of the rates, like the breast cancer screening rate, went up really high. Or there was a facility, it's McClellan Air Force Base, which is right near Travis, which I just told you was our biggest resource sharing facility, biggest resource sharing agreement. When we included that VA with Travis, the HbA1c testing scores rose by, I want to say like 80%. Like, it was humongous, because what was happening is all of the lab work was being referred over to the VA and we weren't catching any of the lab data. So it was great. The NCQA auditor was thrilled that we were able to do that and have better scores. So if you guys are doing clinical quality measures, here's an example where you could pull in that Da Vinci data and make sure you're catching all the things that DHA is doing as well. Here's a paper that our colleagues on the Da Vinci program, Dr. Duvall and Dr. Kane, as well as some of the Kennel team, put together, looking at the power of Da Vinci and the reduction of censoring if you include you know, both the DOD and the VA in your research studies. And so What this chart is basically showing is that, you know, if you're an active duty service member, the majority of that care is going to be seen in DOD, but about 3% of the care is seen in the VA. So it's not a big number, but it's still enough care to matter. DOD wants to know about all of the care that the active duty service members receive for sure. And then retirees, it's much more split where they're going to have some of their data in the VA and some of their data in the DOD. And so when you're studying that retiree population, that's where this can be really important. Here's an example from one of the facilities where we're going to look at emergency department utilization. And so I go into the OMOP table and I start looking for variables and I say, well, I don't have anything to identify VA DOD resource sharing anywhere in here. There's no patient category code or anything like that. So what I had said earlier is you need to join to the DOD source data. So here's some code that our team members wrote where the CAPER file is the equivalent of the encounter data. It's the encounter data for DHA. And so starting with the CAPER file, what you're doing here is retrieving, see this field called record ID right there. It's the third field. So select your DEMIS ID and your record ID. That's actually the record number. So each CAPER has an original record number that identifies that thing. So what we're pulling here is the record number in the patient category code. Then what we're doing is going into the DOD OMOP visit occurrence table and matching the data based on the patient category code and the visit type to get the right visit types. And then what that does is it includes the patient category code then on the OMOP visit table. So you can easily grab this. You can use the same method to grab the BenCAT or any other data element that is necessary. One of the reasons that I think this is important to teach you is that, to me, a limitation of the OMOP model is that the person table doesn't have a time slice to it, right? That if somebody changes something about their attribute, you know, their attributes, it's not represented in the OMOP table. So what these linkages can do to the source data is let you get contemporaneous data. What was somebody's status at the time of care? Whereas if I were using OMOP, what I would do is I would have a person table and I would be linking a bunch of encounters to the person table, but it's just showing me what's in the person table. I'm not able to see, hey, this person was on active duty when they got this care and they were a retiree when they got that care. Like, I can't see that in the OMOP structure, but this type of linkage that I'm providing to you allows you to see that. And so then here's the data here. So what we found is, here's an example where I told you the PATCAT wasn't completely implemented with the subcategories. So what in the CHCS ALTA, you have decreasing K61s, and then you have the ones with the I think that's the opposite. You have K61, you don't have the subcategory code in the new Genesis data. You only have it in the old data. I think that'll get fixed, but that's how that works. So anyway, K61 doesn't look like it's a lot. It looks like it's a small amount of emergency department utilization here. But the fact is that if I look at specific facilities, it's actually a very large amount. It depends on where you're looking. And this is just an example where we looked at, we took the direct care emergency department visits and looked at how much of that direct care was DOD VA resource sharing at military hospitals. And like at Fort Bliss, in the William Beaumont, this is the El Paso area, 35% of the services provided in their ED are for VA patients, you know, 22% at Elmendorf. So again, locally, it can really matter depending on where you are, where your study is based. And so just to recap everything, and then if I have any questions, I'm happy to take them. But My recap here is that the DoD-VA resource sharing program is of benefit to both the DoD and the VA, and there's pressure from above to increase that sharing because, you know, resources are fixed and, you know, it saves money and it does really good things for both agencies. DoD-VA resource sharing can result in people who are typically ineligible to receive care to get care. So an active duty showing up in the VA, for example, or a separatee showing up in the DoD. Patient category code is a way that you can identify VA patients referred from the VA, but there are some quality problems with that field. Another approach might be just to look at your VA consult data. I'm guessing you can probably get that. Or another, just to back up a little bit and say you don't have to use the patient category to identify your VA patients or the PIP. What you could do is go in and in fact, if you did just use patient category, you're only going to get those in those resource sharing programs. If you want full VA data for your full cohort, right, you're going to build your cohort, you know, looking at who's VA eligible and then feed those identifiers regardless of what their PATCAT says. You're going to have those patient information process fields in the future. And then that's the last slide I said, or the last bullet I'd already said. So I believe that's what I have prepared for my materials today. And I'll just stop talking and open it up in case there are any questions that you'd like to ask. I'm more than happy to try to answer them for you in the last 8 or so minutes that I have left. Over.
Wendy, you did address that one question that came in, right?
I did. Yes. Yeah. The question was about the scope of the data that is in DaVinci, and I think if you close your eyes, if this kind of thing makes sure you get dizzy. Sometimes I do too, but yeah, I think the scope slide is the one that's important to see here. So for the person who asked the question, DoD family members are not in the purple, right? So they're outside of that scope. Yeah. I did.
So attendees, if you're struggling to figure out where to put your question in, click on the three dots in the lower right-hand corner. Oh, there's one, a new one. Would you like me to read that to you, Wendy, or are you just going ahead?
I'm trying to find it, actually. I'm very interested in accessing this data set from the DoD side to investigate the care rendered at our facility. How can I begin the process? So it depends how the process begins. If you're from the DoD side, then you need to go through the DoD institutional review board process. That's typically through the institution where you're working. And then that comes to DHA for a secondary review. It goes to their privacy office if you're on the DoD side. And then either you pull the data, usually if you're a researcher, there's a request portal at DoD, and then there's an organization J5 within DoD who pulls data, does a lot of data extraction for researchers. So that's typically that process from the DoD side. I have successfully used it many times from the DoD side in my work. And feel free to reach out to me if you run into any problems. I'm happy to help you with that. What percent of separatees are retired and what portion? That's a great question. I don't know the answers to that off the top of my head, but DaVinci is a really nice data source to use to look at that. I'm sorry, I don't have the answer off the top of my head. Okay. All right. I think I see something about enrolling in the VA. What portion of retiree? Yeah. I don't have the answer off the top of my head. It's a pretty decent answer. I mean, it's a good number. There's a couple million DoD retirees, like retirees eligible for care. See that on this slide? 2.2 million retirees. So lots of them. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we do have a few more minutes if people have more questions that come up late, but since it's 2:54, maybe if you have closing comments, you could go ahead and make those now, and we'll see if anybody has any more questions.
Yeah, sure thing. So, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to talk with you guys. I think that Da Vinci has really enhanced the work that I've done. I've done a lot of work, and my team has done a lot of work where we used to always say, this number is only as good as it can get, because we know we have a lot of censoring. We know we're missing healthcare data, right? And, we knew that DHA patients were treated in the VA. We knew they were treated with Medicare. We knew, they had the federal employee health benefits plan for lots of people, and trying to reduce censoring of our data so that we get better answers has been a big part of the work that I've done. And I think just trying to get these data sources, getting Da Vinci in was just such a win to fill in those gaps and really, really truly be able to understand people's performance. And so thank you so much for letting me talk to you about that. And I really hope that you're able to use Da Vinci to help fill in some of those holes for your work as well. So, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Over.
It looks like we did get one more question in from one of the previous questioners asking, I'm sorry if I missed this, but does this data include financial as well?
Oh, that's a great question. I think originally, for sure, it did not. And it was one of the things I kept saying, we need to get. And I can't recall, unfortunately, if we added it. One thing I will tell you, even if we did add it, is that there have been challenges with some of the cost data on the DoD side since the implementation of Cerner. And so there are still, where DHA used to have cost data, a lot of those fields are blank right now. So I guess my answer is, even if the answer is yes, it's kind of no right now going forward until DHA gets that cost data issue, sort of gets the cost data available again. So. And thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. There's a question here that came in regarding the slides. There was links in the email that you received approximately 4 hours before the webinar with links to the slides, and I put them in the chat. But more to the point, you will receive an email in 2 days' time with a link to the archive where you can find the slides. If not, go to our website and you can download the slides today. Let's see, there's a few more that came in. Most of them are thank yous.
It says, it's a VA person doing geriatric patients research. And so far they've been using Vinci, but they were wondering if the DHA has legacy data on when these veterans were active duty. Absolutely. That is the purpose of Da Vinci, is to have that old data. So what happened before they came to you, right? That is one of the primary purposes of Da Vinci, is to get that data for you so you can have fuller health histories and exposure histories and things like that for your patients. So yeah, I think Da Vinci would be of great value to the work that you're doing.
Great. Thank you, Wendy. As always, to the person asking for the slides, I just put that link to download the slides in the chat one more time. So if you could copy that and put it into a browser, you'd be able to download the slides now. Other than that, since Wendy's already made her closing comments, we'll just say thank you very much. And I think you're presenting again next month, aren't you, Wendy, or something like that? Next month?
I am. I have quite a few presentations stacked up for you guys, so I'll be talking to you again. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, it's the Wendy Show coming up. Thanks, everybody. Happy holidays.